Back from a nice seasonal break. Season's greetings to everyone. Spend time with family, good food, odd weather, sunny one day, cloudy the next.
I mean, for some people, that like, you know, it was nice and sunny and the moon came and covered it up, which probably wasn't fun.
Well, no, it's good to be back after our little short break. So, welcome back. Hi, welcome to Indulgently Minimal. I am Moggy, and I am joined today by Jeff.
Hey up, guys.
And Murdoch.
Hello, everyone.
And this week, we are going to be talking about minimalist versus minimalism. We are pitting them in a head-to-head combat, all-out brawl to figure out, well, what the heck is going on.
Ironically, winner takes all, which is kind of what we're trying to avoid, because then it gets more stuff. But it is what it is, you know. We'll just have to put up new shelves.
It's an awkward one, because we've spent all this time talking about minimalism and minimizing and minimalizing and all of the rest of it. And there's this little elephant in the room, or perhaps not so little, where...
I'm going to interject here. Quick question. Trifold wallets, billfold wallets, preferences?
Well, you've seen my wallet. None of the above.
You have a book, sir. You have a book.
Honestly, I thought we were going to say the elephant in the room is that with all of this, we haven't talked about the incredible ice cream that is mini milk, but that's fine.
Save it for the ice cream blobcast. Save it for the ice cream blobcast. No, the elephant in
the room... I have opinions.
I know. No, the elephant in the room is, throughout all of this, we've been talking about how we can minimize or minimalize. And often, with wallets being a very good example of this, when you go and look to bring the minimalist option in with wallets, this is those weird little card-holding doodah days, sometimes you can actually end up with either more things and objects than you had before, or at the very least more problems than you had before, if you'd have just either kept what you already had or otherwise not changed anything, you wouldn't have had this problem. It's a very strange situation.
It's a wonderful little like microcosm of a much bigger problem, but it's a really nice, it's a really lovely little example of sometimes you can find something, you can get something, you can see something that you think, this is the minimalistic thing that will fix everything for me. And then it turns out you actually need that and the other thing you have. And we'll get into it, but it's a beautiful example of how screwed we really are.
Now, what with minimalist wallets, like, there has been a trend in recent years to these simplified card holders where people generally don't carry cash anymore.
What the hell is cash?
You do sometimes end up with that odd situation where it's like, yes, look at my sleek minimalist card holder. That is my wallet. What is that bulge in your pocket? That is my coin purse.
Although, to be fair, how cool would it be to have, like, you know, like a cloth coin purse from, like, Game of Thrones that you can throw at people and say, take this, you know, get me a beer, or, you know, saddle me a horse, squire.
I may or may not keep my gaming dice in such a purse, but, you know, that's between me and my gaming table. Anyway.
That's because it adds an epic layer, you know, like, it's a nice little, it's a perfect receptacle for epicness.
Well, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, there, unfortunately for the people who do prefer an all-digital, cashless life, there is still the odd situation, and depending on where you live, this situation may come up more or less, but there is the Khajiit does need coin for his wares. Mm. The Khajiit does need cash for her endeavors. It's a bit odd sometimes.
Okay, it is, like, occasionally you will encounter a shop or a stall or something, and it's cash only, and it's this weird sort of, your brain takes a few minutes to, wait, what? Oh, God, I've got to go to a cash machine, and that's a whole hoo-ha. But sometimes it's just like you need a couple of coins for here or that, or sometimes you just need a pound coin to spin around because you're bored.
Japan was interesting for this. Like, there were shops that refused any form of digital payment. You had to pay in cash. There were some places that refused cash, and you had to pay with, you know, debit or credit card. And there were some places that would take, like, you know, their alternate mobile app forms of payment. It was interesting. You had to carry a plethora of all.
Well, these cash payment apps are becoming more and more popular the world over. And I think it's a bit odd for those of us Brits in the audience where we realized, or I realized, I should say, that we were in a bit of a special situation where banking was free and transactions between banks were a nothing burger. In a lot of countries, it either costs you money or the person receiving the money if they're being sent from different banks. So I think some of these payment apps, the sorts of PayPals of the world, are solving that problem.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite, the scales were lifted from my eyes. I didn't realize how fortunate we actually are in the UK to not have to deal. I mean, we have many, many other problems, but we don't have to pay for banking. We don't have that problem, which is nice. But yeah, because I know in Denmark and I believe Finland as well, they have this thing called mobile pay. Which is like linked to your bank and you take a photo or scan. I don't know. I don't understand how it works. It's weird. It's some sort of voodoo. It's the same code for everything. I don't understand it. I assume elves do it.
Well, that would be on track for the
It's the Hilda folk.
We are the magic coming down here, carrying the cash to the place we go. Getting strange already. The thing is as well, I think this whole... And maybe this is why they're so expensive. I do think the whole minimalist wallet thing is somewhat awkward by the rise of e-wallets as well, because you can have all of your cards, especially bank cards, on your e-wallet on your phone, you know, Apple Pay, Google Wallet, whatever you have access to.
I mean, so, there's Samsung Pay in the back, eating glue.
Why do you need the cards at all?
To pay for goods and services. I thought we'd been over this. You have to pay for the trains.
No, I think the digital wallets on the phones have sort of changed a lot of people's behaviors. Previously, you would reach for the wallet in your pocket to pay for something. Now, if you're waiting in a checkout line, your phone's already in your hand, maybe just sort of waiting for the line to move along.
I think the first time I saw somebody pay for a coffee using their watch, it was a strange experience for everybody involved, I believe.
It was like one of those, oh my God, I'm living in the future. I can't believe it's so bad here.
We were promised Transmetropolitan. Wait, it was bad there too.
Anyway. We don't want Transmetropolitan. It was a warning.
Speaking of warnings, I will make one small interjection here. These mobile pay options are dangerous. Previously, you'd make a mental association of pain with I am breaking this $20 note. It is now broken into parts and chips have fallen off, and I have lost some money. Now it's take out phone.
It's ephemeral. It's like it's all in the cloud, and you look at your wallet and you think how. How did I spend this much? What did I spend this on? How much cheese?
I mean, it is a funny one. You mentioned it up top. My wallet is the opposite of this. I use a travel journal with little inserts for everything. So my wallet's enormous. But it works for me because everything's in one place. And because so many things are on my phone, it is the minimalist option for me because it's what I already have.
Well, and that's the really interesting one, almost mention it, as you said, right up at the top. There is a stark contrast often between minimalism and minimalist. Like something can be of a minimalist aesthetic, minimalist design, minimalist purpose, but that may not be the minimalist option for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, a good option, I think, if you just want to carry one or two cards with you, can be those, there are phone cases that have card holders, either the bifold with the cards on the inside of the door, or there's maybe less mom phone options where the cards go in the back.
Well, it reminds me, there's a Regina Spektor song about, she finds this dude's wallet. It's a lovely song, but she's going through the wallet trying to find out who this dude is so she can return it. And one of the lines in it is, I keep all my cards together with a blue rubber band.
The ultimate minimalist option. Yeah. Practically speaking, I think it's an option. It's an option. Mm. Also, more digression, I guess. I don't know. I've been unpleased with the state of wallets at the moment. I feel like it shouldn't be that much more than the footprint of a credit card.
Look.
But I digress.
Well, remember, this isn't a sneaky bag cast via the back pocket.
Fine.
We will never do bag cast.
One day I will have my way.
I'll have my revenge.
if you get to do bag cast, I get to do Gorman cast. This is how it works.
What about Metal Gear cast? We're still waiting on that one.
Well, since you've offered the opportunity to talk about it.
Moving back quickly, and then Margie take the reins. It's basically, I think it's also worth sort of taking stock of what you actually need in terms of, like, you know, physical cards or cash or coins versus what you can shift off into the digital realm. Or if you need to carry around the George Costanza exploding wallet.
there are levels to this. And I know as the weather warms up, I mean, I know Jeff has seen the sun for like 5 whole seconds. I wish I could give you some of ours. It's too much. It's only April. It's too much.
But it came out and it scared the pigeons and suddenly there were bees. Seriously, the pigeons got scared and then suddenly there were bees everywhere. Like it happened in an instant. It's like, you know, with the British sun and barbecue is like, the sun's out, let's go, get the grill, go.
Like Navy SEALs pop up out of nowhere carrying charcoal. No, I mean, my shorts have come out for the first time this year, and I'm reminded, yes, that's why I need various sizes of bags and shoulder satchels. Not everything fits in these tiny pockets. It's an odd one where I think the whole thing with minimalist wallets is they promise that, like, it's very sleek and tiny, but for some reason, like everything else that's got a minimalist vibe, it's ludicrously expensive and over-engineered. Like, putting all your store cards in a blue elastic banded pack is fine. And especially when you can get apps like, I don't know, Wallet Creator, the one I use on iOS. I am positive there is something similar on Android that can scan various barcodes, QR codes, anything else, and add them to your phone's e-wallet. So even
this
if
is
the,
for all the membership and rewards and discount cards.
You know, if you have a QR code to log in your gym or your time card at work or whatever, if that's the way they're rolling, there are apps that let you add those cards that probably don't officially work with Apple Wallet. You know, a lot of supermarkets want you to install their app rather than just adding their store card to the wallet app on its own. This can be a really good option to minimize without spending any extra cash because you're just chucking everything in your phone's wallet and then, figure out a way, whether it's like a giant George Costanza or my travel journal wallet, where everything just goes in there and then you can chuck it in a bag, you can chuck it in your pocket, you can do whatever you need to.
It does lay the foundations of if you have lots of store cards like that, you moved the physical bulk to the digital bulk and then suddenly you're scrolling through all your cards in your wallet. So depending on what you've got, there is a balance there because sometimes you are just moving the clutter or moving the stuff to the digital location, which I guess is an improvement.
Jeff, look.
Okay, I'm looking.
Sometimes you have to go to many supermarkets to get the deals.
Yes. It's too late. You already signed the deal.
There are important things to consider, you know? I do know what you... I do believe that the... Again, I'm sorry for all our wonderful Android listeners. I have no issues. I only know what I know. But I know the Apple Wallet is desperately in need of a redesign. I think it was created in a world where you maybe had one debit card, one credit card, and something else. Mm-hmm. It definitely could do with some sort of folder system rather than just this endless scroll of cards. Although with the Wallet Creator app, there is a nice location-dependent tag you can give it. So for my login at work, I just said whenever I'm within 5 meters of this address,
So cool.
Yeah. So it acts like the airplane tickets where, you know, for the day you're flying, it tends to add a shortcut on your lock screen.
When I am near this particular candy store, do not allow my cards to work.
That's not a bad idea. That's not
you have
a bad
to be
idea.
Your own, as we mentioned in another episode, you have to be your own parent sometimes.
Sometimes the phone needs to be the parent for you. Yeah. Okay.
Just the last comment on your journal style wallet. I think like there is something to it in the sense that instead of carrying two separate items in your pockets, you are essentially combining everything into one neatly, conveniently, like arranged, organized location.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes
it even
if you
fits
take
my
one
passport.
Of those minimalist. Ah, everything in one convenient location. Lose one thing, lose everything.
Oh yeah, no. If I lose that, I am in a different kind of trouble.
But the conversation on like the minimalist wallets quite literally is like, here's the thing that only carries your bare essentials. Here's your ID card. Here's your fancy credit card and nothing else. Then maybe necessitates a secondary wallet for extra cards, cash, coins, stuff. So instead of carrying around one item, you're carrying around two, or you need to retain two.
It's the Homer Simpson meme when he's, you know, gets all fit and healthy and you look at the front, he's just like, you know, thin. And at the back, you've got coin purses, you've got card holders, you've got like this giant sack just filled with everything that didn't fit into your, you know, 100 euro wallet that's RF blocked and is beautifully designed, elegant in its execution. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this is very much like the loose skin is pinned at the back.
The loose skin is pinned at the back, yes. This is not minimalist in practice. This is sweeping dirt under the rug.
Yeah. Well, let's sweep that image from our mind and think of something far more beautiful. I know I am an absolute sucker for minimalist design and decor. Like IKEA could just take all my money if I'm not careful. I love these, you know, beautifully simple rooms with very rounded edges, various shades of white and gray. It very much speaks to me. And why is it so expensive?
And that's the terrifying thing. It's IKEA is expensive. And in the grand scheme of furniture, it's cheap. That's the terrifying thing. Although there is, was it Jysk?
Jysk?
Jysk.
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 There's the Danish alternative. Is it Danish? I can't actually remember.
They sell themselves as Scandinavian simplicity, I believe. So they are some form of Scandinavian.
What is what is the Danish store that's taking the world by storm at the moment? I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, Flying Tiger, perhaps?
There's also Flying Tiger.
But they're not really minimalist. This isn't the conversation we wanted to be having.
Not the conversation, no. At the other opposite end of the extreme was a Pottery Barn. It's like, look at this extremely ornate object. Very expensive, very luxurious.
Oh, it is. It is from Denmark. It's from Aarhus.
Well, there you go.
Anywho.
I'm glad we solved that one. Okay, join us next time.
Yes, Jeff was right.
See, that's the thing. It doesn't even necessarily have to be minimalist. It can be very expensive to create the vibe you want to go for in your home. With minimalism, I feel there's a different type of irony. And it really does highlight that there is a big difference between minimalism as a philosophy and minimalism as an aesthetic.
Yeah. They can be not only very different things, but sometimes diametrically opposed to one another, depending on the individual engaging with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, I really am curious, and I wish we had some sort of, I don't know, minimalist philosopher on call where we could just, you know, ask these questions. So email us at indulgentlyminimal@gmail.com if you know. Do minimalists like spending money? Is like, that a part of minimalist philosophy? I've never figured it out.
When you look at like all the minimalists on the internet and the YouTubes and your Marie Kondos and your all the others, it's always about, you know, finding joy and getting rid of objects. But from what I can remember, yeah, there's no discussion about like how much did this fork cost? Do you need to spend this money? How much money do you have? Is this money well worth spending? It always seems to be like avoided. Almost in the conversation, which is interesting. Yeah. I don't know if it's avoided or just forgotten, to be honest.
And in our usual fashion, I believe we rather clumsily and accidentally stumbled into this question in the very beginning. That's what indulgently minimal means. If you're going to have one fork, it better be a good fork.
Mm-hmm. We ain't got fork money to splash around here.
Maybe worth reiterating, we have mentioned this before, like, good things are often expensive. Expensive things are not necessarily good.
It's a very valid point.
It's a very valid point.
So it's an awkward one where every now and again you see something that really speaks to you, whether it's that weird, like, in my mind, I don't know, like, the sort of monolithic object that just screams minimalist decor. Like, if you looked it up in the dictionary, this is what you would see. It's a lamp shaped like a pebble. Mm-hmm. Pebbles seem to be a very minimalist thing, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're just pleasingly smooth.
I guess because they just sit around and they're bashed around by the water until they get their shape and then cast upon the river's shore for all time.
Pretty much. And I said, I'm a sucker for it. I love it. But you have that thing, don't you, where, you know, you go to the store and finally you succumb to the siren call of whatever object it is, and you trot home with it in your bag, happy as Larry, put it on your table, and you realize that the rest of the room is still a cluttered mess with whatever hodgepodge of designs has built it.
I did it with a small silicon cat lamp that you tap to turn on, and now he just sits on his perch and judges me.
Oh, we have one of those.
They're so cute, right? And he goes through the different colors.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're
so
really
cool.
Annoying because they respond to it. If you touch the table that they're on, they turn
on. Yes. Yeah, that's why mine is on a little acrylic square plinth on top of the window ledge. So he just sort of he just sits there along with Sackboy and just looks into my living room and goes, come on, vacuum. Come on, vacuum.
Wow, yours is kind of judgy. Ours just sits there all chill and illuminated.
Well, this is the incredible thing. This is a metaphor because the cat doesn't have a personality. It's all me, Marky. It's all me.
Truly, the judgment was what we projected onto the inanimate object all along.
You know, you joke about the IKEA furniture thing. I have been told.
Oh, this is no joke.
No, I have been told on at least one friend visit, like, you live in an IKEA showroom. It took me a while to realize this. It's like, oh,
but
my,
so
I do indeed
so nice,
live in an
though.
IKEA showroom. When did this happen?
Like, IKEA showrooms can be, you know, depending on that, sometimes if you get, like, if it's everything in the same dark charcoal black color, it is like, it's a little American Psycho in here.
it's for those of us who like to play rogue at the D&D table because you have a dark and mysterious backstory. And, well, if you're not projecting dark and mysterious, nobody's going to ask you about your dark and mysterious backstory. And why have a dark and mysterious backstory if you're not talking about it?
There's no point in having a dark and mysterious backstory in D&D because everybody's going to spend their entire time talking to the random dwarf that has no impact on the story whatsoever. He's just at the bar that you start the game in and suddenly becomes an indispensable NPC character because your players will not let him go.
I literally, in my most recent game, had to include two NPCs in the tavern because they were on the screen of the YouTube video that was playing the background music. And my players were like, what about these guys? Okay.
All right, this is Bill and Ben, the flower pot men. You happy?
They are now
nobody's going to be happy
decor.
In this one.
They're now part of the permanent cast. They just happen to be there.
Pretty much is how it goes. IKEA. IKEA.
IKEA.
IKEA, yeah. Well, they are the absolute masters of this. When you say you live in an IKEA showroom, every object has its little siblings that, if you put them all together, create this vibe. You know, everything's designed to be a part of a set. And that's why it looks like a showroom when you do it, because literally, that's what they do in the showrooms.
Well, they're really, really clever because everything's related and it's all part of a set, but with a different name within the set. If you get the full set and read the whole thing together, you do, in fact, summon Cthulhu. It's pretty cool.
Well, he misses his peeps. That's the thing with Cthulhu. He misses his peeps.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, I guess I'll miss my peeps, but, you know, I had some good times.
Oh, I don't even remember that book's name. Anyway.
It's like Cthulhu Tales.
Yeah, it's a good comic. Very good.
It was great. And it was like Cthulhu Tales Part 4. God knows where the other ones are.
Well, this is it. Very well done, Jeff. Back onto track.
I did it again.
Almost derailed. Things come in sets, and this is done on purpose to make you not make you, but encourage you to buy more. And I do personally, in my version of minimalism, think this goes against what my minimalism is and what I'm going for. I want just, if I want a lamp, it's there to serve a purpose. I would like it to look nice, but I don't need every other object in my living room to match that lamp. But there's something deep inside me that's like, but yes, but wouldn't that lamp look better if all its little sibling lamps were around it, like one happy family? Just get out the credit card and this can happen.
Like, it's something that you see everywhere. Oftentimes things are split into families, into various things. You see it in video games with like item sets that you need to get all the little item sets to complete the full set. Part of us that just, we love it. The little gremlins inside us, we love it. We need it.
Oh, they do. They love it.
I'm going to point in two separate directions for this like set completion thing. I think there's one that is like, ah, you have the nice blue shiny pebble. What about the green one and the red one? They all belong together. It's like, I only have use for one of this item. Why do I want the rest of them?
So you I don't know. I just do.
So that's the one where there's a certain sort of like, I don't know if it's innate behavior or tendencies to like complete set of the same item, but well, then there's also the other direction is the family of objects.
They're separate but related in concept. Mm. The family of objects, I think, is trying to encourage you to bring everything together. The other thing you're describing is more like, okay, we know that this one is going to sell the best, so we're going to number it 3 out of 5 so that, oh no, like I must get 1 through 4. Yeah. But there is a name for this phenomenon, especially like the family of objects, and it's a surprisingly old one. The Diderot effect.
And that's it, guys. That's what we've been going at this entire time. Podcast over. Somebody who's already been talking about this for hundreds of years, and there's still no solution.
Yeah, it's nice to put a name to things sometimes. It means that somebody has come across this problem before.
It's somebody nice to put a face to the pain.
Somebody can share their knowledge of the ancients with us about this.
We'll put a link in the show notes to the Wikipedia page so you can read for yourself. But in simple terms, it was some 18th, 19th century dude bought himself a nice fancy dressing gown and realized it was too nice, too fancy. And then he ended up spending all his money trying to fix his house to match the nice dressing gown that he just saw one day and thought, I want this. But there's also an undercurrent to this idea that you're never going to be happy. The object will never itself bring you the happiness that you may be seeking from it. And it's always going to ask more of you. And yeah, it's surprising it's taken us 68 episodes to discover that essentially the core idea that we've been talking about this entire time has a name. So yeah, you know, professional idiots.
The bloke was called Diderot. It wasn't just a random name he plucked. I think it was named after himself because of course that's what
of course
do.
It was.
It sounds French. I bet it's French.
It does sound French. Well, you don't pronounce the T. That's usually a sign.
Diderot. I think part of that conversation is quite him literally discovering that, like, you know, his new fancy robe didn't make him as happy as his old comfy robe.
Well, it's like, you know, he mentions the thing, suddenly he finds himself, because it's so nice, he can't do the things he would normally do in his other dressing gown out of fear of besmirching it, bespoiling it, staining it. You know, the old one he'd use as a napkin or whatever. We've all done it, don't judge me.
I don't know about you. I carry a napkin at all times. It's monogrammed.
You lie.
I do have to use napkins. I am a very bearded man.
You do have a magnificent beard. It's true.
Thank you.
It is a little bit ironic that accidentally came across this term while looking at wallets.
See, it all comes around, guys. This is all planned. It doesn't sound like it, but it is. We're bringing it back.
Just to wrap things up, like, you know, cash in a bundle. Which
wrapping
belongs
up
in a
wallet.
Well, that is basically where we wanted to get to today, because next week we are going to dive far more into this idea of the Diderot effect and what we're calling the promise the object makes, which is this idea that when you buy something, you don't just buy it for the purely utilitarian purpose of the thing. The object comes with many promises, and we really want to unpack that idea because, as we said, stumbling upon this idea, it does feel very central to what we're talking about, and we're hoping it will help you as much as it's starting to help us understand why we're doing some of the things we're doing. All right, guys, we've been Indulgently Minimal. You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Mastodon. Links in the show notes to all of our socials. We update when there's new episodes, when we're maybe going to skip a week like we did last week. We also sometimes post pictures or whatever's on our mind. So follow us there and you'll know when new episodes are coming out. If you want to get in touch with us, we are indulgentlyminimal@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Ideas for new episodes, thoughts, comments, let us know. We're always happy to receive emails. Thank you to everyone who's still supporting us on Ko-fi. It really does help us keep making the show, pay our bills. If you want to throw us a few bucks, buy us a Ko-fi, the link is in the show notes. It's ko-fi.com/indulgentlyminimal. I've been Moggy, and I've been joined this week by Jeff.
I have run out of tea.
And Murdoch.
And remember, folks, indulge a little, and we do mean a little.
In the tea. Thanks for joining us. See you for the next one. Bye.
See you later, guys. I can't find my mouse.
Take care, everyone.